Tight budgets always seem to squeeze training and development. At the National Park Service, management faces two challenges related to its people. The workforce is aging, and the latest government-wide employee viewpoint survey showed the agency has some work to do in keeping employees energized. Kathy Hansen is the Chief of Learning and Development at NPS. She explains how her team is tackling those problems.
Right now, with all the change and unrest in budgetary situation, the primary focus in learning and development is to prepare the next generation of leaders. Of course, to equip our leaders who are currently in positions of managing our parks and units, but also to prepare those who will have the challenges of the future. And in order to do that, we have to work closely with leaders who are determining what our next challenges are going to be. So it's a lot of work with budget. It's a lot of work with strategic thinking, organization development work.
And, of course, the viewpoint survey that came out from OPM was not all that kind to the Park Service. How do you take in those results, and what do you do with them to try to improve results? And what do they say to you?
Right. Well, actually, the employee viewpoint survey results, it wasn't that they weren't kind to us, because those are employees. Our employees responded to those, and our director is very serious about addressing those challenges. It's not about the results or improving them as much as it is identifying why employees are not feeling engaged or satisfied in the workplace. They are our most important resource. You know, the Park Service is in the business of preserving and protecting cultural and natural resources, but our leadership believes that our employees are the most important resource. So what we're doing is we've disaggregated those results at the National Park Service, which means that for parks or units that had respondents of 10 or more, we could maintain anonymity in those results and still talk to the employees. So we're doing the best we can now to go out and hold these discussions and employee meetings to find out what are your concerns and your issues now, today, what can we do to address those and help you address those. It's really kind of a grassroots movement.
So who's doing the asking? Is it different people right at the field level?
No, it's a centralized organization. We have within learning development an organization development branch. And for those of you who are familiar with OD, organization development, they are pretty much third-party neutrals. They are expert facilitators, and they're experts in the art of inquiry. So they go to these parks and units and meet with employees, not with any answers, not with any solutions, but with questions.
And Park Service, of course, has an internal, an office type of component, but a huge field component and a highly scattered one. How does that present challenges for what you do in training and development?
You're absolutely correct. With 401 park units and they're geographically dispersed, we have unique challenges. How do we provide consistent quality learning opportunities across the board and across such a geographically dispersed audience? We do have some centralized programs. They're very important. But we also depend on many programs that have been created in the field that are worthy, that we replicate and we share across regions. My budget couldn't possibly address all the need of well over 20,000 employees with my centralized budget. And parks and units do have their own budgets that they address training needs with as well. What I try to do in our office, our team, we really try to coordinate and collaborate. So it's not about controlling the learning opportunities. It's about making sure they're all in alignment and that they're sequential.
Now, if you're a park ranger versus if you are an accountant, say, at headquarters, clearly you have different specific skill sets. But for the Park Service, are there basic leadership skills that you try to instill in all employees?
Well, many of us in this business of learning and development are pretty fond of saying leadership is leadership, because you do have supervisory skills that change and managerial skills that change with career field, you know, technical and functional competencies that you must master. Let's say, for example, you're a law enforcement ranger. You must be proficient in use of firearms and know the penal code. You don't need to know that if you're an interpretive ranger necessarily. Therefore, we focus on leadership that are traits or skills or competencies that one must have to lead regardless of what the technical qualifications are.
And so where does the technical qualification training come from?
That is often provided by regional or park level units because the need varies. You can imagine our parks in Alaska might have very different functional needs than those on the border in Arizona or New Mexico. So some of that is controlled at the regional level. We do provide some centrally with training managers in my organization. But again, the key is coordination. In the Park Service, employees move around. They're gypsies often. They take jobs in another region, in another park, but they do remain with the Park Service largely. And so it's important that they have some consistency in even those technical competencies.
We're speaking with Kathy Hansen. She is Chief of Training and Development of the National Park Service. So it sounds like training and development is almost a federated affair between the local units and the functional areas and the central group that you're in charge of.
It is, in the sense we're striving for that. Let me put it that way. Right now, I believe we have a good deal of communication and trust, but it can be improved on. And we're working on that hard now with an internal communication strategy. How can I get sustainable avenues of communication that let me know what our field employees need and want, and also what our leadership believes needs to be disseminated. So it's a two-way avenue that we believe we could do better on, and we're working hard at it now.
And recently you borrowed a page from the EPA in the training and retention of employees. Tell us what you found from them and how you're adapting it.
Right. Well, as we embarked on in our workforce engagement office, we decided to look at what were other organizations doing right that had them scoring so high in areas of training and development. And one of the organizations that fared very well was the Environmental Protection Agency. So we met with some of their leaders and had access to the employees who said, you know, I feel very valued and tended in the area of employee development. We asked them, what is it that you value so much? Is there a particular training course or do you get an individual development plan that meets your needs? And surprisingly, we learned from these employees and the leaders at the EPA, which is just one organization, but we learned that employees value most having a rotational assignment or a detail assignment where they can shadow someone else, having a new variety of work, challenges, something else they can learn and add to their repertoire, being able to bring that back to their job. They value that more than they valued formalized courses, although there's a place for formal curriculum. We think that this is a great thing to apply in the Park Service because you can not only keep your employees engaged and learning new skills, but you can also bring that back and transfer it and apply it back in their current job.
And what about the retirement wave potential? I mean, it's affecting different agencies differently.
Succession planning is a big concern for us, as it is with anyone in any government agency or private sector for that matter. We were fortunate because the predicted retirement tsunami has not yet occurred. That might be affected in the future when federal agencies turn to different retirement policies that might allow people to have an early retirement option. Right now, probably 60% or better of our senior leaders are eligible to retire. If that were to happen, we would be very concerned. We would be in a tight spot. But the key for us is looking to the bench. Are we preparing the bench? Developing programs for the leaders who will next step into those managerial positions, that's where we're targeting a lot of our efforts right now. So everything from entry to mid-level managers and beyond.
And is the budget pinch affecting everything, including training and development?
Especially training and development. We're fortunate, though, that our leadership believes that it's very important to, more important than ever, to focus on developing employees in such a difficult time. You know, leading change is a hard thing to do in the best of circumstances, but it's especially difficult when employees are faced with such dire shortfalls in their budget and their staffing. Our leadership has said this is so important that we're not going to undermine your efforts. We're going to put as many resources as we can there. But I will tell you, Tom, we have to focus on distance learning and blended learning opportunities. Things, travel has been restricted. You know, we have smaller budgets now. Under a continuing resolution. So we are focusing more on how can we reach a larger audience and do it more cost-effectively.